Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and joining me today is the Colonel. You there, Charles?
I'm here, Timmy.
And, of course, Her Majesty Brandy. Are you there, Brandy?
I am.
Wonderful. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about the life of Mickey Finn. Of course, one of Brandy's good friends, small-time criminal whose name becomes synonymous with knockout drugs. So before we get into that topic, let me remind everyone that we are a true crime, comedy, history, I don't know, podcast. We use adult language. That means we swear.
We do.
And
well, you know, Timmy, we don't swear. We speak the King's English here, Timmy.
You and
but
I,
the devil,
but yes, Brandy.
But the devil shoots out
foul language.
Remember that the first Iraq war with the Scud missile? She shoots out profanities like Scud missiles, Timmy.
She's like the Scud stud of the podcast.
She's like, yeah, she is the Scud stud, yeah.
If you two had to work with you two, you would cuss too.
Hmm.
Huh.
So, it, but if Brandy, if profanity offends you, then we would suggest that
what we suggest is you go turn on Jimmy Swaggart and just take your ass away from our show.
Jimmy Swaggart. Wow.
Jimmy Swaggart. He has
sinned. That's a name from the past.
I think he's dead.
Is he?
I think so.
Some
he sinned. He
give me $1 million and I'll be cured. I got, you know, I guess he didn't get no money.
Now, I'm sure the Church of the Latter-day Colonel would never do something.
Oh, no, no. Is Jim Baker still alive, Timmy?
I think so, yeah. I think
but
so.
Tammy Baker.
Tammy Faye's dead.
Yeah, Tammy Faye's
Tammy
dead.
Tammy Faye's dead.
She had the anal cancer, I think.
Oh, my
she
God.
Did. She did.
God will smite you with anal cancer. No, I think
no,
so.
No, she got the anal cancer.
I think so. I think she had anal cancer. Maybe it was
Farrah Fawcett
cancer,
dead.
Right? Yeah, I know Farrah Fawcett, but I think Tammy Faye did too, but someone will look it up and prove that we're wrong. But let me introduce our panel. I am joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented, a woman who's known throughout her kingdom as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, Timmy, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, as you know, I broke my foot, and so I've been.
Break your foot. How did you break your foot, Brandy?
I don't know. But
well,
you know,
I hate to tell you what Charles told me, but he said it had something to do with lovemaking, but
it did.
I don't know that that's the case, and I don't want to embarrass you. If whatever you and Dave do in the privacy of your own home is none of my business.
That's true, but that wasn't it, and I'm pretty
if you
sure.
Were hanging
well,
from
I told
your
you,
ceiling
you get
fan,
messing around with that trampoline.
Yeah,
I know. I got to wear a boot.
No good's
going
to come from that.
I got to wear a boot.
You
now.
Look kind of sexy in a boot. I got to tell you that. I got a thing for boots.
Duh.
Devil.
I mean, come on. I pulled that boot off, and now Noah has decorated it a little bit for me with some stickers.
Oh,
so
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you put his Street Weave sticker on there?
Well, no, he didn't. He has that on his notebook.
Okay.
For school, I have some lightning bolts on it and a skateboard. So I'm pretty pumped
lightning
about
bolts.
That.
So you're like Thor in a way.
I a little like Thor, except, you know, I'm very slow.
So what do they do with a broken foot? There's nothing really they can do with a broken foot.
No. Are they? I just have to wear my boot.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I know it happens.
It will hopefully give us a respite from you kicking us.
Well, that's what nice. I've told people is I broke my foot off in our boss's ass. But and he backs that up, so that's kind of what I'm going with. It's more logical than I don't really know.
I kind of like when you walk by and I can say, hey, nice boot.
Yeah.
I think it's you're getting older and your bones are becoming brittle. That's what I think.
Yeah. You think it is? They're becoming brittle. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brittle bones.
I don't know that that's
you'll become
it.
Known some more calcium, as, you're going to become you know, known devil, as what? Brittle bones brandy.
I'm not.
You would think with the 3,000 Tums you take each week that your calcium would build up and your bones would be stronger.
You would think so, but you know, but you, hey, you and I, Charles, you and I have discovered that we are sharing an affliction.
We are
currently eating all of our feelings. So
eating your feelings.
Oh yeah,
we're eating our feelings, Timmy.
So
me and the devil are stress eating. We're just. Oh. Eating so, yeah. everything that's in front of us.
Well, I'm sorry yeah. to hear that.
It's a bad scene.
Speaking of, you're eating a lot of Tums. I had a cousin who he started feeling bad or whatever. And he had some tests run, and there was some. He had a spot on his lung or somewhere, and
probably not his lung.
But they did these tests, and it turned out it was calcium buildup from Tums, and his doctor said, so how many of those do you eat? And my cousin said, oh, you know, like 25 or 30. And the doctor said, you mean a month? And my cousin was like, no, a day. So be careful,
Holy
Brandy.
Holy Christ.
That's a lot of Tums. A lot of Tums. Let me, Brandy, introduce a man who is known as the really one of the most benevolent men in the country, man who's loved
by all.
He's sometimes been called the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
He's never been called that.
He's a man of God, Brandy.
He's not
the Reverend
either.
Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm not good, Timmy.
What's wrong? What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, I don't want to turn this into an infighting squabble thing, Timmy.
Okay.
But you have been going around, and I know that there's been a bad influence on you from this Miss Flanagan woman. Okay, I understand that.
Yes, she can sometimes be a bad influence.
Yes, she can. And she decided to make you a baron, Timmy.
I am Baron Von Scott.
And you went to law school, Timmy.
I did.
And I will refer you to Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8 of the United States Constitution, Timmy.
And what is that clause, if any?
It prohibits anybody from walking around here with a title, Timmy.
Are you mean like colonel or something like that? Because there's
because
Colonel Sanders.
Colonel was a recognized American title, Timmy. And it's not considered nobility. Mine is a reverential title.
People
revere me so much that they call me colonel.
Well, couldn't people revere me and call me a baron?
Nope. It's against Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8. I read the Constitution twice, Timmy.
Well, hey. I'm sorry, Leanne. He read the Constitution, so apparently I cannot
twice.
Be a baron.
Tammy Faye Baker died of colon cancer.
Oh, well, it's the same thing.
Colon cancer.
It's not the same at all, but go ahead.
Well, that just means that Jim was getting deeper up in there.
It's old stool. You got to be careful of old stool, Brandy.
Jesus.
You do.
That's the one thing that you need to keep in mind. The old stool is bad stool. That's my motto, Brandy.
Well,
how old are we?
Well, I mean, you know, if you got stool in you 3 or 4 days old, over time it gets bacteria, and over time, I think that leads to colon cancer. Now, that's not medically scientifically proven, but that's why.
Okay, so this is a Tim Scott theory we're working on,
based on your never been to law school or not law school, medical school.
But I'm a doctor. I have a doctor.
Based on never being to medical school, that's
Timmy
your...
went to medical school. He just never took the test to be a doctor.
I have a Juris Doctorate. It's a doctorate degree. And I'm telling you, beware of the old stool. Don't listen to Brandy and Chuck. Or, you know, they smoke. They're smoking. Chuck vapes, but Brandy...
We come from the old school
and
stool, Timmy.
They're not progressive in their thinking about their health. What I'm telling you people is beware of old stool. Old stool, Brandy, is bad stool.
Old stool is bad stool. That should be the motto of the show, Timmy.
I'm going to have t-shirts made up.
Welcome to history, dweebs, where old stool is bad stool.
Let's not do that.
Don't you think that there's a correlation there, Colonel, between, you know, because colon cancer, you get some old stool in there, bacteria sets in, and, you know, things just get funky.
I'm not really sure about the people to get colon cancer if they had old stool sitting around or not.
Well, what about?
I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
What about anal cancer? I think anal sex is related. There must be a correlation there between that. I would think
it's a direct correlation.
Yeah,
there's a direct correlation, and that's why. Well, you don't want to speak ill, but that's what I said about Tammy Faye. You know, she might have had the anal cancer. It just went 2 inches further because
you've never said anything like that.
A very well endowed man.
Hey, can we talk about Mickey Finn?
Just for a minute.
Great. Right. Thank you.
We can't.
Early.
When did you become this person that all of a sudden is the modicum of professionalism here, devil?
Here's the thing. I got shit to do today.
Does your hypocrisy know no bounds?
My hypocrisy knows no bounds.
You know, I'm trying to educate our listeners, maybe save lives.
I'm the Doc Holliday.
If you're watching the shopping channel podcast.
If you're watching the Home Shopping Channel, is more important than saving our listeners' lives, then I'll proceed, Brandy.
That would be great. I'm the Doc Holliday of this podcast. My hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Your hypocrisy does know no bounds.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like you've seen a ghost.
In the early 1900s, Brandy, Chicago was likely not a city in which you would want to go out drinking. And that's because pickpocketed-turned bar owner Mickey Finn was scamming gullible customers by spiking their drinks with an illegal drug he got from a pharmacist of questionable character.
He got it from a witch doctor.
Well, that's
what I
said.
Which is where Charles and I get all of our drugs.
Mm.
Yeah. But although, is that even appropriate to say anymore? Can we say witch doctor?
I don't know, but I'm telling you right now.
You offend witches and doctors.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's cheaper to go to the witch doctor.
It really is.
She has no copay. She's amazing.
I have a co-host who's actually a witch. Every time I have an ailment, she'll tell me some kind of essential oil to use with it.
Can I use
Sudafed?
Yes, you can always. Better living through pharmaceuticals, that's what I say.
Yeah, what's wrong with Sudafed, mother? I can't take Advil. You got a headache? Oh, no, don't do that. Here, there's a, and sometimes, strangely, it works. I can't really belittle it too much, but, you know, she'll tell you, oh, there's a pressure point on the back of your neck. Press it for 30 seconds. No, motherfucker, that hurts. I'm taking 8 Advil.
There you go. That's my boy.
And then my headache's fine. My headache's fine. My kidneys are shot, but
whatever.
See, I can't take anything over the counter. Is just trash. I mean, it's not really. It doesn't help me at all. I need some serious drugs when I have a headache. I need Vicodin or something. Slam,
I don't like Vicodin.
Slam it with a sledgehammer. Is what I say, Brandy.
Yep. All right.
So anyway, Mickey Finn's association with the drug that later inspired the manufacturing of another illegal substance, which was appropriately named after him, called the Mickey Finn. And it was used by vengeful waiters often. It was used by vengeful waiters in a food poisoning epidemic all over Chicago. There was a strike, and we'll get into this a little bit later. But waiters used this drug to poison patrons of restaurants in which they were engaged in labor negotiations. And not to mention, of course, the Mickey Finn was the origin of the nefarious phrase to slip a Mickey, which, of course,
you know, I love those old movies and I love the way they talk there. And it's like, somebody slipped me a Mickey. See,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember.
Oh my
hey, you
God.
Remember when they did that to the sheriff here, Timmy? Well, we weren't alive then, but they slipped the sheriff a Mickey, put him in bed with a prostitute.
Oh, yeah, yeah, in Newport, right?
Yeah, Newport, yeah. The Newport Mafia was did that to him.
Notorious hotbed for criminal activity and organized crime, and the sheriff was trying to clean it up, and they slipped him a Mickey and tried to frame him.
Him in bed with a prostitute, took pictures. And he came out and said he wasn't even afraid. He said, they slipped me a Mickey, put me in bed with a prostitute.
Yeah.
You all know what kind of people they
are. What they did.
They slipped me a Mickey, see?
Wait a minute. Didn't Joe Bluth call him Forget Me Nows?
Forget Me Nows.
Yeah. Forget Me Now. That's a good one. Anyway, Michael Mickey.
Wish I had some Forget Me Nows.
Forget Me Now.
Wouldn't it be nice to have, like, the Terminator where you could just erase your memory of the past 30
years
like, of your life?
Like Men in Black, where you just, like, wave that thing in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That'd
it would
be nice.
Save a fortune on therapy, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Michael Mickey Finn, Brandy, was born in South Bend, Indiana in 1871 to Irish immigrants. His father was a laborer who drank a lot and was seldom in the home.
Oh, imagine that. An Irishman who drank a lot, Timmy.
I know. That's so out of character of our Irish
They're
friends.
Usually such a teetotaling bunch.
Mickey grew up in the streets, Brandy. He survived by making a not-so-honest living as a pickpocket and a thief, typically going after drunk patrons who were easy to rob. So he rolled drugs for a living, Brandy. Your thoughts on that, if at all?
Well,
if any.
He knows where to go.
Have you ever rolled drugs, Brandy?
Nah, I can neither confirm nor deny.
You rolled around with plenty of drunks.
Well,
so
no, there's
that.
But yeah, no. Yeah. I will neither confirm nor deny rolling a drunk. I did roll a drunk girl out of my way one time. She was just laying there.
In the street?
On the sidewalk. Just rolled her out of the way. Dumbass.
See, that gets dangerous. If you get some of those women who get really drunk and then they kind of pass out, and then you go try to help them and wake them up, you don't know if they've been in
Nam. We don't like that. We don't like that at all.
You don't. And then, you know, it's like, no, you can't lay here on this park bench, and you try to grab them and move them.
I absolutely can.
And then all of a sudden, they come up with karate stuff and, you know, all crazy, and it's just so I just leave him lay on the park bench.
Thank
you. Wouldn't you like to follow Charles around for a day? I mean, his life seems so much more interesting than mine.
Well, then that's not a high bar, Tim. Having a life more interesting. I know. So it's not really a high bar. People who go out after dark have a more interesting life. Not a high bar.
Mickey grew up on the streets. Mickey grew up on the streets, Brandy.
Yes.
He survived by making a not so... Oh, I already said that. His nickname was Mickey. Is believed to have been taken from the fictional Irish character created by the 19th century writer Ernest Gerald. Of course, Colonel, you've read a lot by Mr. Gerald.
I've read a lot by Mr. Gerald. I find him wanting a bit, but on a slow, rainy Wednesday, I might, you know, put my smoking jacket on and, crack open a book. But
you're not, you wouldn't necessarily read him. He wouldn't be your first choice as a 19th century
author. No, he wouldn't be my first choice. I mean, you know, there's always, Dr. Seuss is generally my go-to because he makes me laugh. And then I like to make up dirty words and write them into books instead of replacing them, you know.
Well, yeah. It's,
you're a wonderful grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I said you are a wonderful grandpa.
Well, you know.
You're that grandpa.
Which is, Sarah said, just posted on Facebook last night, as a matter of fact. And I did this with my own children. They were home with strep throat, and they were 11 years old, the twins. And they couldn't get out of bed, and they had to have something to do. So I brought down, we had a bunch of Andy Griffith DVDs. And, you know, every Andy Griffith show is a morality play. You know, it's always teaching you a lesson if you pay attention. So I brought down about 10 Andy Griffith CDs and The Godfather. And I told them, boys, everything you need to know about life is in these DVDs right here. I don't even need to father you anymore if you pay attention here. So I made them watch The Godfather, and I made them watch Andy Griffith.
Your thoughts on that, Brandon, if any?
That's how they got their moral compass.
It's quality parenting.
All right. But even these points were subject to speculation because not a lot is known about our friend Mickey Finn. However, he made his way to Chicago. We do know that. And began working in the Seedy Levy District as a barkeeper, Brandy. Of course, you've known a few barkeeps in your time.
I have.
Well, Mickey.
Intimately.
Huh?
Intimately.
No.
Have you
I'm not judging you.
Have you ever slept with a barkeep, Brandy?
No.
Mickey Finn made his mark.
No, barkeeps don't give you grades, Timmy.
No, that's true.
Oh,
unless he's an economics professor. He could be in a part-time barkeep and an economics
part-time
professor.
Part-time barkeep working on the side.
A full-time barkeep and part-time economics professor.
Part-time economics professor.
Mickey, really? Or a part-time part-time economics professor and a part-time barkeep. Or a full-time barkeep and a full-time economics professor.
Oh, my God.
Just saying there's a lot of different combinations there, Brandy.
There's a lot of options there. There's a lot of things that made him potentially sexually desirable to you, Devil. That's all we're saying.
Now, if he worked at Pet Boys, it would have been... He would have been in like Flint. Anyway.
What do you like in a man, Devil?
What do you look for in a man? In a gentleman caller?
You know,
in a suitor? Boyfriend?
You know what a big thing is, though? Seriously, somebody who's dependable. Like, bae.
Dependable?
Huh?
Someone who's dependable?
Yeah.
So, like a mailman, for example.
No, well, first of all... You know, Tim.
Rain, sleet,
let's not
snow,
even get into your dating
dark of
history.
Night.
Let's not even get into your dating history, Tim.
I'm not talking about
Charles. But for Charles, you've been out of this game for a little while, and I have too. But, you know, dating is rough. And it's. Dating's rough, and it, you know, you have people in the. Oh, I'll call at 6, and then they don't call. And then it's a whole thing. And you know what? It's just somebody you can count on. That's a big deal, and somebody that can make you laugh.
Well, Brandy, it seems to me you have a lot of pent-up anger and hostility. Did that come across to you, Colonel?
It's seething underneath that that's demure surface, Timmy.
See, do you hear what you said? He was supposed to come at 6, and he never called. That was a specific example. That wasn't a hypothetical there. So she's
that was very specific,
If you two are trying to spoil my decent mood, it's not going to happen.
Apparently she's not. She doesn't deal with rejection very well, Colonel.
No, she does not. She does not handle adversity well either. Mm. Nor does she does she know how to fight fair? There's when you
I don't think she handles prosperity even well.
No, actually, she does not. She does not handle prosperity, adversity, happiness, unhappiness. You just don't handle things well, devil.
Sure, I do. I have Xanax.
Hmm. You have a lot of built up anger, Brandy. You should vent that some. Find a productive way to express your anger.
But what helps is the two of you, you know, taking your fingernails and just chipping away at my little rage bubble.
Don't blame us. You're only with us on this podcast and maybe a few hours during the week.
Yeah,
you've got
I'm with the two of you almost every day.
Do you get a sense she's projecting, Colonel?
I feel like there's some issues she's not facing head on, Timmy.
And she's projecting it on you and I, who are, of course,
onto us,
very supportive of her. And
we try to be.
Yeah.
We try to be.
I feel attacked, Colonel. Do you feel attacked?
Again, Devil, and this is, you know, you have to understand, we're allies, Devil. Let us help you help yourself.
Yeah, Brandy. We're in your corner.
No, you're in my business.
We're in your corner.
Let's talk about what happened in 1893.
Devil, can I tell you a brief story, Devil?
No, because they're never brief, and I don't care. And I never care.
This week I had to transport a bunch of binders.
Go ahead, Colonel. The people want to hear your voice,
binders.
Colonel. Don't let her silence your voice.
In a plastic bag. Thank you, Timmy. So I put these binders in a plastic bag. It's a Dillard's bag, a local shopping place.
Certainly fascinating so far.
And
it's
then
like
when
Macy's,
I got to the place
right?
I needed to use the binders, I took them out of that bag. And inside that bag, I found a receipt. I'm not sure how I handled this. So there was a receipt, and I look at it, and I think it's an old receipt, so I'm getting ready to pitch it. But then I see the receipt is only a couple weeks old. And I look at the receipt, and there's only one thing on there, and it's a receipt for $160 for a pair of shoes, a pair of boots.
Pair of boots. Expensive pair of
boots.
Yes.
Hmm. Yes. How would you handle that, Devil?
Well, she must have got them on sale.
$160. They better come with a goddamn person in them for $160.
Well, I mean, let's establish, first of all, that your wife owns you and makes, like, I don't know how many times more money than you do. So if she wants to spend $160 of her money on boots, she has every right to.
Well, the problem
I'm
with
just
that,
saying,
Brandy, is you do it one
nobody
time,
needs...
then she wants a bag, then she wants a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah.
And for you...
I ain't Jeff Bezos up in here, goddammit.
Well, nobody's asking you because you don't make enough money. She, however, does.
$160 for a pair of boots. It just seems excessive.
How much did you pay for your shoes, Colonel?
Yeah, he found them on sale for like $25.
I live by a code, Timmy. Uh-huh. And men, if you're listening, this is a code you need to follow. I'm like the Jordan Peterson of clothing. You know how he has his 12 rules?
Yes.
I'm going to put this in another book, Timmy. The Colonel's Rules for Living.
I like it.
I do. I have a hard limit. I will not spend more than $19.99 on a shirt.
That's fair, Brandy.
I will not spend, unless they're jeans, you have to spend more because I like a particular type of Levi's. But unless they're jeans, if they're pants, slacks, I will not spend more than $24.99. And if they're shoes for work, I will not spend more than $39.99. And if they're gym shoes, I will not spend more than $59.99.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy, if any?
It's a code. It's a goddamn good code.
It's a man code. Your thoughts, Brandy?
Well, it's a bullshit code, and we can all see when you come into work that you've not spent more than $19.99 most of the time on the entire outfit.
Are you saying he's not
investing
in his attire, Brandy? Is that what you're trying to say?
But again, his wife makes a lot more money. She can spend her money on what she wants. I would like to hear about the 1893 World Columbian Exposition. Okay. That's all I want to hear about.
Okay, Mickey Finn made his mark in Chicago when he went there to work as a barkeep in the 1893 World Columbian Exposition, also known as the World's Fair, Brandy.
Yes.
I say that for you who are not as sophisticated as myself. And soon...
Have you ever spent $160 on a pair of boots, Devil?
I will.
And I'm not
confirm.
Talking about your younger days when you were a go-go dancer.
Oh, well, then no.
When you could write them off on your taxes, yeah.
Yeah, then no.
Yeah, it's excessive.
Well, it is what it is.
I'm a simple man.
Do you think
she makes three or four times what I make? So if I made as much money as her, I would.
Do you think dominatrixes are able to? First of all, is the plural of dominatrix dominatrix? And second of all,
dominatrix, Timmy.
Do they get to write off whips and stuff like that? I guess they do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never thought of that. Anyway,
all right.
The World Fair.
Did you see how quickly the devil answered that?
No, she knew right off the top of her head.
Yep,
she did.
Michael Finn was in Chicago for the 1893 World's Fair. Of course, that was the World's Fair, Brandy, that I know you're familiar with. That H.H. Holmes did all his dastardly deeds.
Yes,
but that's another podcast. Anyway. Michael Finn soon took up a job at Toronto Gyms in the city's Whiskey Row. That's a name the area of town, Brandy, where there's a lot of bars.
Yeah, got it.
He started working at Toronto Gyms, probably because Jim was from Toronto, would be my guess. But his trouble making ways caught up with him there when he socked a customer with a bunge starter. Do you know what a bunge starter is, Brandy?
It's the mallet that bartenders use to whack loose kegs of beer.
You're right. How did you know that?
Thank you. Because I am a wealth of useless information.
Well, he hit this guy with
Well, you know how many kegs she's opened up in her lifetime, Timmy?
She drinks right from the keg a lot of times. Anyway, he hit this customer. He was working in this bar. He hit this customer with this bunge starter. So hard that it popped this guy's eye out. That's sad, Brandy.
Did he get
That's horrible.
Probably didn't get a chip, that'd be my guess.
Jesus.
You'd have to hit somebody in the back of the head for that, Timmy. Mm.
Well, it doesn't say where he hit him.
Yeah.
Well, needless to say, we lose a lot of eyes in this episode, by the way, just forewarning.
Perfect.
For those who have, some sort of irrational fear about losing their eyeball, this is not the episode for you. Anyway, needless to say, Mickey Finn found himself out of a job after that stunt, Brandy.
Yeah, you can't really keep somebody around after that happens. It's not good for
this. You know, the thing, if he popped both eyes out... The customer wouldn't have known that Mickey Finn was still working.
That he did it.
Or that he was still working there.
You could have kept him.
He just like
wouldn't have been a problem.
He could have just like when he came up and ordered a beer, he could like used a fake, I don't know, German accent or something.
He could use his Irish accent.
Well, I think he probably may have recognized him since his name was Mickey Finn. It's an Irish name. But anyway.
Leanne Flanagan,
Colonel, and she has an Irish name.
She has a fake Irish name.
But
I think that should be in our Constitution.
What, that you can't have
But it wouldn't apply to her, I guess, because she's an alien.
She's a Tory.
She'd be what we call, she is a Tory. You know, Timmy, speaking of tapping kegs, you know the tap you put on a keg, you know what the devil calls that?
No.
The metal straw.
A straw.
The metal straw, yeah.
So Finn, Mickey, persevered, Brandy, and around 1896, 3 years later, he opened
Was he making preservatives?
He opened his own saloon, Brandy, called the Lone Star.
He persevered.
Called the Lone Star Cafe and Palm Garden, Brandy. It's got a classic name, you've got to admit.
That's a long name. That's got to be hard to put on napkins.
And the thing is, the Lone Star, and he's not even from Texas.
Right.
No,
Why would you name
no
your
Irish people in Texas?
Why would you name your bar the Lone Star Cafe and Palm and Garden? Yeah, I agree. That is, it is a little lengthy in it, terms of its name. Can't get
and
that
they
on
don't have any palm
either,
trees in Texas.
You remember when Colonel? You ever give your slip your number to a woman on a matchbox? That's something we can't do anymore, really. Because you don't...
oh, on a matchbook?
Yeah,
matchboxes yeah. are trickier.
Well, yeah, but a matchbook is what I meant.
Yeah, no
you ever do that, Brandy?
Anymore?
You ever slip no. your number to a guy on a matchbook?
No,
it was fucking cool. Nope. It was a cool move. If that doesn't get you laid, cool then you really don't have much going for you.
Well, if that doesn't get you laid, she's a lesbian, Timmy.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you know, we've gotten a lot of mail, Colonel, about Brandy's man-hating ways. And
yeah.
we've got a lot of complaints from lesbians who say they like men better than Brandy does. And not to... they don't want associated with her.
Don't sully our names yeah. by associating us with the likes of the devil.
Right.
This is a really fun game that we're playing here, but come on.
All right. So anyway, Mickey opened his own own bar in the heart of Chicago's Levee District. He ran the business with his wife, who was named Kate Rose. Kate Rose, okay. of course, very another very Irish name, Colonel.
Yeah.
Now, Mickey's bar that he opened was a black and tan bar, and that was a term used to describe establishments where black, white, and immigrant patrons mingled, Brandy. So it was they had a lot of diversity, Colonel. I know you're very open-minded when it comes to mingling with all people. And so I'm sure.
Well, of course,
the Colonel.
The Irish are the Irish. He was an Irish. The Irish are a very inclusive group, Timmy.
Unlike Brandy, because she would just she would just hang out with her men hating friends. Now she's
right. Yeah, no men in the bar. Get out of here, men.
Yes.
I don't care what color you are, what your background is. Get out of here.
But this is because of some. This wasn't because of some progressive ethic on his part, but rather it was considered that these bars at the time were considered in low class areas, and other bars in wealthier neighborhoods were more exclusive. So, Mickey's
okay.
trying to turn a buck. So he opens this bar, the Lone Star Saloon and Palm Garden. It was more than just a neighborhood dive, Brandy. It was also headquarters.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Are you yawning, Devil?
I did, yes.
Was that a yawn?
Are you not enthralled
Timmy
with this story?
Timmy sits down and wrote a compelling story.
Well,
compelling.
If we could get to it, then maybe I would find it more compelling.
This has got me on the edge of my goddamn seat here, and you're yawning.
Well
you need to sleep.
You
need to live right.
Don't think so much. How it affects me, Colonel, because, I slave day and night for these scripts. I research
right.
all hours in the morning and all hours mm-hmm. of the day. I'm up at dawn. I go to bed at 7 p.m. And I work my fingers to the bone to bring these. But don't think about me, Brandy. Think about our listeners. You owe it to our listeners to be more invested in the story in this podcast. Instead
if
of
we could get
yawning,
to the story,
like
if we could
you're
get
bored,
to the story, I would be invested.
Like you don't care about our listeners. Is
yeah.
that what you hear, Brent? You hear her yawn, Colonel. What does that say to you, Colonel?
Well, instead of yawning, you should have just said, "Hey, listeners, fuck you." That's what they heard. Fuck
because that's
you.
What you're essentially saying, Brandy. That's what you're saying when you're yawning. You only get a spend. 1 hour a week with our listeners.
When 1 hour?
Spend 1 hour a
this
week.
This is going to turn out to be a 3-hour tour if we don't get going.
All right. Huh. Where was I, Brandy?
I just think it was hurtful and inappropriate. And I've talked to you a number of times about being more professional.
Yes, Brandy, these people, they work hard during the week. They want a little entertainment. And they tune. There's millions of podcasts out there, Colonel, as you know. Where do they turn? Where do they turn for
They turn to us. They turn to us, Timmy.
And this is
They turn to us.
And we can't get to the goddamn story.
Your compelling stories.
She yawns. Like
right,
you said.
Right.
She might as well just say, fuck you, listeners. I don't care about you. All I care about is me.
Yeah, and the six-pack I got waiting for breakfast.
And my Vicodin. In my
and the Vicodin. Hmm.
You wish I had Vicodin.
Well, Brandy, the Lone Star Saloon and Palm Garden was more than just a neighborhood dive. It was also the headquarters of Mickey Finn's illegal activities, Brandy.
Yes.
It is where he fenced stolen goods, supervised pickpockets, and B-girls. He had B-girls, Colonel.
B-girls. I like B-girls.
Who engaged in it was a sleazy enterprise, Brandy. Your thoughts on that, if any?
Well, no, I have no thoughts. This is starting to get good. Let's keep it moving.
The modest venue served only beer and whiskey and was staffed by what they call house girls, Colonel. House girls.
So you couldn't get you a good gin and tonic in there. You just had to get the beer and whiskey.
And, you know, in Thailand they have... I hesitate to bring this up, Brandy, but in Thailand they have BJ bars. You know what those are, Brandy?
Yes, I can guess.
Where you can sit down at the bar, have a drink, and one of the ladies would pleasure you, sort of.
I think we figured that out.
All right. Well,
I'm not sure I would like that kind of bar. I would because, like, I like to go to a bar. Get some cheese sticks and watch the Broncos, Timmy.
So you don't think
That's
you would like
experience.
A BJ bar, Colonel?
It would distract me. Once the Broncos got down to the goal line, it would just be a distraction. I just have to say, hey, B-girl, could you just hold up for just a few minutes? I need to see if Philip Lindsay's going to get into the end zone here.
Then clearly you would not go to that bar. You would go to another bar.
Well, I might stumble in there accidentally. You know, brief story, brief aside
no,
here.
They're never brief. They're never
now,
brief.
Tanner,
they're barely stories.
Tanner and Taylor live in Chicago. And,
oh, my God.
Well, they don't anymore. Tanner moved to Los Angeles.
I'm going to go make me a cup
story.
Of coffee. You people are fucking killing me.
And he, Taylor, they often went out to bars together.
Mm.
Well, you know that my son Tanner is gay,
mm-hmm.
and he would go to gay bars.
Right.
Well, who goes to gay bars? Well, gay men, but...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Often women who are not wanting to be hit on for that night, you know?
Right, right.
And Taylor said, you know, Dad, once they have a couple drinks and you get dancing, it's like a whole buffet with no competition in it whatsoever.
Well, that's
you're the only straight guy
there,
in
Randy.
There.
He's got a point.
And now that Tanner has moved to Los Angeles, Taylor continues going to gay bars.
To meet women.
Because he just says the atmosphere is very nice.
Yeah, but... But wouldn't you run into gay women by doing that?
No, they're apparently like divided up amongst, you know, there's like lesbian
bars.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to go to a lesbian bar, Brandy. Would you accompany me?
Nope.
See, I'd be afraid I'd get
no,
beat
you know
up
what? I by, would, because you know, I want to see what happens.
By one of Brandy's fans. So, but he says the atmosphere is much nicer, people were more chill, and he said, you know, these girls say they don't want to dance and meet a guy, but once they have a couple drinks, they want to dance and meet
well,
a guy.
Well, that's what I've always
what's
you know,
the point?
Heard that about
what is
Brandy.
Your point?
Once she got liquored up, then she's the life of the party. It's what I heard, Colonel. I don't know about you.
I am. But what is your point? Like, you told that story
anyway,
that everybody
bar,
already
girls,
has figured out.
Many of the girls in Mickey Ben's bar, Brandy, were street prostitutes with unsavory names,
get out.
Brandy. And get some of these names, Colonel. There was the dummy, Fife.
Isabel.
Her
name
was
Isabel.
The dummy, Fife, yeah.
One-eyed Sally. She had one real eye and one glass eye. And then there was Mary Brandy. There was Mary Goldtooth Thornton, whose jobs were to flirt with the patrons and encourage them to drink more liquor. Mary Goldtooth Thornton would later provide testimony that would lead to Mickey's arrest. So she turned state evidence, Colonel, much like maybe some of the current politicians in Washington will be doing.
Yes. She was singing like a canary with that gold tooth, Timmy.
Mary Goldtooth Thornton. I bet she was a looker.
They didn't have texting back then.
I bet she was a looker.
Oh, I bet she was.
Now, although
compared to One Eye and the dummy, she may very well have been.
I couldn't find a first name for Dummy Fife. All I could find was Dummy. That was all that was in my research.
That seems mean.
No, it's not just Dummy. It's the Dummy Fife.
The dummy.
Yeah.
So, yes, comparatively speaking, Goldtooth was probably killing it. Because you got one girl that can't, you know, tell her left hand from her right, and the other one that continually walks, you know, off because her
depth perception.
Yeah, but
that
one with Colonel, I bet that one with the glass eye had her own specialty, if you know what I mean.
She was a niche girl, Timmy. She was a niche girl.
You think there's a one?
You're
eye,
a niche.
You think there's one eye?
You're a niche
porn.
Girl. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Hall you're a
notes.
Niche girl,
Brandy,
and you're gone too.
Let me tell you,
because you know it
Brandy
don't matter.
Gave me a ride one day to lunch or something.
Mm-hmm.
The whole way it was Hall and Oates. I mean, I thought it was like 1974
in a car. Oh, for Christ's sake. What did that little guy do anyway?
What little guy? Hall? Is that Hall?
The little guy in that band, was he Hall? He was Oates. He was just riding Hall's coattails the whole way.
I think one of them died, I think. They're both alive?
No, they didn't. They're both alive.
Brandy, why is it you like the Hall and or Oates?
I don't.
You played their music the whole time I was in your car.
I did, because I love really bad 80s music.
It was like 70s,
I just
but okay.
Do.
Anyway.
Well, no, they were in the 80s too. Maneater? 80s.
Maneater. So, you see what song she went to right there?
Of course she'd know that song. Oh, here she comes.
Probably.
She's a maneater.
Probably her theme song.
Yeah.
You know, she probably got that on her. She probably has that in her will to play at her funeral.
Yeah, she does.
Ooh, I Instead didn't think of, about that.
Play Maneater on bagpipes for me, please.
Oh, although Mickey and Kate, his wife Kate, did okay financially with their bar, running a straight business wasn't enough for the couple. They always wanted more, Brandy. So the couple, with the help of their house girls, ran several different scams to steal money from patrons. A typical scam involved charging customers insane prices for watered-down drinks. Barmaid Mary Goldtooth Thornton would meet a stranger in the city, promise him sex if they would first go out and get liquored up. Brandy, your thoughts on that? Have you ever had sex after getting liquored up?
Well, of course. Seems like a dumb question.
When the guy would agree, Goldtooth would bring him to Mickey's bar and order drinks. The man would not know that Goldtooth was actually working at the bar. The stranger would be given a menu without prices. When it came time to settle the bill, the stranger would discover that the tab was outrageously high. If the guy complained, Mickey would come from behind the bar with a club and threaten to beat the customer if he refused to pay. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Seems like a solid business plan.
Seems like that'd get you some one-star ratings on Yelp to me.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Another scam, Brandy, involved house girl named One Eye Sally. Now, Sally was an attractive woman, Brandy, around 20 years old, from Elgin, Illinois. Our good friend Michelle Johns is from up near Chicago, Brandy.
Yeah.
She's our good friend.
Yes.
We missed her at DweebCon this year.
She's a lovely woman.
Yeah. But I think Tara is up there, too, I think. By the time...
She knits, too. Huh? She's a knitter.
She knits?
She likes to knit
things. I wish she would knit me a suit, Brandy, because I need a new suit. You think Michelle would knit me a suit if I asked her?
Yes.
I need a peckle
warmer. Tara Fuller is up there, too. You need a what?
A peckle warmer.
No,
one of those things you can put on your pecker at night to keep it warm.
I didn't know they sold those. Do they sell those online, or where do you buy those?
Yeah, you can buy them. Hmm. You can buy them.
Did you know that, Brandy?
Yeah.
I had one. It got all stretched out. I had to put it in the washer and dryer and try to shrink it back down, and it got too small. Long story, but you look on Amazon. You can find them.
Well, maybe she will knit us one for all the male members of History Dweebs.
We could have a fundraiser, Timmy.
Yeah. Now, of course, Colonel, yours and mine will take a little longer than the rest of the guys.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm going to have to send an extra spool of yarn there.
But by the time she turned 18. By the time One Eye Sally turned 18, she had a criminal record, Brandy, mostly for prostitution and pickpocketing. She had lost her eye when she was 16, when she was caught with a married man. The man's wife hit Sally in the face with a 2x4.
Holy shit.
The board had a nail. The board she hit her with had a nail protruding out of it, and it punctured Sally's left eye. Doctors were. I told you I put that warning out there about people who are screamish about.
It's like some shit out of the Saw movies, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
Doctors were unable to save the eye, and Annie, that was her name, Sally. Sally used a glass eye for the rest of her life, Colonel.
You know, I knew a guy who had a glass eye, and it was an ill-fitting glass eye, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
And it was when you was talking to him, it would occasionally fall out.
Oh, that's
the first time I met him,
uh-huh.
I did not know he had a glass eye, and I was talking to him. And his damn eye fell out and hit the table.
I would have passed out.
It's like nothing I ever seen before, Timmy. He offered me a donut. He had a box of donuts. He offered me a donut and said, there's Boston cream in there. There's my favorites. And I heard a clink, and it was his goddamn eyeball.
It fell in the donuts?
No, it didn't fall in the donuts. It just hit the table. But
you might have known.
I was a little unnerved by that, Timmy.
Well, once you gain your composure, though, you could take as many donuts probably as you want him because he wouldn't know.
Yeah.
At least you got to take it from his left side.
Well, he could only see what I was taking with my left hand.
Now, although Sally had a nice body, Brandy, she had her disfigurement was not good for her business as a prostitute. Now, desperately needing income, Sally took a job at Mickey's Bar and was always willing to take part in any illegal schemes that would supplement her income. So she was, trying to raise some money.
Entrepreneurial.
Exactly. One of the most prolific profitable scams that Mickey ran with Sally was a con involving her glass eye. Mickey and his wife would dress Sally elegantly with a new dress, fake pearl necklace, and imitation fur coat to run the scam, and Sally pretended to be the widow of a very wealthy railroad tycoon, Brandy. Your thoughts on that? Oh, okay. Sally would then go to one of the finer stores along Magnificent Mile in Chicago. There she would pretend to shop and make small talk at with the shop owners about her late husband. She would then leave the store and return a few minutes later, squinting, pretending that she had lost her glass eye. Now, generally,
that'd be hard to find. It'd take you twice as long to find it if you only got one eye.
Right. Now, generally, the shopkeeper would then start looking around the store for her eye. But the eye, of course, would not be found. Sally then pretends to panic and declare that the glass eye was an anniversary gift from her late husband.
Nothing says, I love you, like a glass eye for your anniversary.
Sally would claim the eye was custom made in Paris and was worth several thousands of dollars.
Oh.
Now, Sally, still squinting, then would leave the shop and tell the shopkeeper that she was willing to pay $1,000 reward for the return of her glass eye. Sally then would give her contact information, usually a fake P.O. box, to the shopkeeper. The next day, Mickey's wife, Kate, would enter the store and pretend to find the glass eye. The storekeeper, thinking of the reward, would then offer to take it and return it to the owner. Kate then would insist that she would return the eye herself and would demand the owner's address. So she's, you know, this is part of the scam. Afraid that he would lose the chance at the reward, the shopkeeper often would offer $100 or sometimes more for the eye. Kate would haggle with the shopkeeper and bargain him up to $250 or so and then leave the store. The money, of course, would then be shared between Mickey and One Eye Sally. That's quite the scam Brandy.
It's quite a scam.
You know, I lost a tooth like that one time.
Oh, Jesus. Here's the thing. You would go through a lot of glass eyes doing that.
No. She'd just take her glass eye out and pretend to lose it.
Right. I got that. But if they gave the glass eye to the shop owner to return to the fake address.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
That was the point. True. He would give her $250.
You can get a good glass eye for $2 or $3, especially back in the day.
Well, and my guess is she was just using marbles anyway.
Oh, good Lord.
I mean, you can get a marble. I just need a marble about this round. Just shove it in there.
Well, yeah.
Give me a pretty one.
Because they don't work. So, I mean.
Yeah, she looked like David Bowie.
Nice.
Brandy, can you tell us what happens next in the life of Mickey Finn?
God, I'd love to. This was just one of the elaborate scams that Mickey and his girls would run to supplement their income. The girls were also prostituting and would often take their admirers to a shady hotel called Maud's Place across the street from Mickey's bar.
They were tooting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Maud was a 67-year-old Russian immigrant who drank whiskey and chewed tobacco. She is amazing.
My dad's side chewed tobacco. She smoked a pipe and chewed tobacco.
Yeah.
Not at the same time, I don't think. Maybe.
I bet she did, yeah. To run this scam, the house girls would usually target strangers from out of town who would just drop by the bar for a drink. One of the house girls would chat him up, sit on his lap, and rub his crotch.
Oh, Colonel. You've been there, Colonel. We've all been there.
Yeah, I've been there. That's a hallmark move.
Once the mark was sufficiently aroused, the girls would suggest that they make their way over to Maud's place for some fun. Once there, the John would pay Maud $2 for the room for 30 minutes.
Damn, that's cheap.
Yeah, well, once the couple was in the room, the girl would ask her pay up front. After she put her money away, she would slowly undress the guy. Once naked, she'd hang her clothes up in the closet, and inside the closet was a trap door. Once the couple was having sex, Maud would open the trap door, quietly go through the stranger's pockets, and take any money he may have on him. The money was then split between Maud, the girl, and Mickey.
That's a little dishonest, Brandy.
A little bit. See, but the scam.
I'm all for legalized prostitution, but not that kind.
But the scam Mickey Finn is best known for was, of course, involving knockout drops. Mickey Finn's scheme was simple. He invented a cocktail called the Mickey Finn Special that he promoted on the store's saloon sign. It was a pricey drink meant to lure those with enough cash in their pockets worth robbing, with no mention of what was in it. Ew. The special drink, in fact, was a mix of alcohol, Tabasco, snuff-soaked water, and a white liquid that could knock out an adult man in seconds.
Why'd they have to put the snuff in there?
Yeah, it's weird. The milk-white substance was allegedly chloral hydrate, a sedative that was first produced in the 1830s and was supplied to Finn by a drug dealer slash voodoo doctor who went by the moniker Dr. Hall.
After then later he would meet Dr. Oates and they would form a band.
There you go.
She's gone. After huh? She's gone. Do a little she's gone for a customer.
No. Please don't. After a customer passed out from the drink, Mickey Finn's bar team would wait until the venue was empty before dragging the unconscious patron into one of the back operating rooms. The customer would then be stripped of their possessions, and the girls and Finn's barkeep would each get a percentage of the loot. The drug Finn used in his robbery scheme was believed to be chloral hydrate. After they'd done all this, they'd thrown the victim out into the alley, penniless and none the wiser as to what happened to him. It was
almost,
he
naked?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It was almost a fail-proof crime. To divert public suspicion, Finn gave bribes to local authorities. But regardless of how careful he was, he could never prevent the loose lips of Gold Tooth and the dummy from ratting him out.
Ah. You're never going to stop the dummy from talking. The dummy always
talks. Dummy
five.
She clearly doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
In December of 1903, Gold Tooth and the dummy confessed to Chicago police, who arrested Mickey Finn and closed up his shady business for good. According to the Chicago Daily Tribune report of Finn's indictment, published on December 16, 1903, bless her heart, Goldtooth gave the court incriminating testimony of Finn's drug robbery operation. I worked for Finn a year and a half, and in that time I saw a dozen men given dope by Finn and his bartender. The work was done in two little rooms adjoining the Palm Garden in the back of the saloon. Goldtooth, traitorous Goldtooth, her testimony was enough to arrest Mickey Finn and launch an investigation that put the saloon out of business. Though it would be the last
She testified against him, Colonel. That's not cool. She was a rat.
No, and you know, here's the whole thing. If you're going to run a scam, like you've seen the Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12 movies. Mm-hmm. Sophisticated things they had going on there, Timmy.
Of course.
Not one of those characters was named the dummy.
Or Goldtooth.
If you're going to run a scam.
Although Goldtooth sounds like a 007 movie.
Yeah, bad guy in 007. But you never had the dummy in an elaborate scam.
No. If you're planning something with someone whose nickname is the dummy,
you leave them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Though it would be the last Chicago would hear of Mickey Finn, he moved out of town after his business shuttered and eventually died of liver damage in 1911. Unfortunately, it would not be the last of these kinds of crimes in the Windy City. The waiter strike of 1903 occurred the same year that Mickey Finn was arrested. It occurred a few months after the Russian Revolution and right in the middle of the Red Scare. People all over the country feared the spread of communism and officials looked to suppress it. They did so by cracking down on labor unions made up of immigrants from Eastern Europe. In the summer of 1918, police launched a major raid at the offices of Chicago's Waiters Union. They rounded up more than 100 servers working in the local restaurant industry on suspicion of food poisoning. The raid was unlike anything that the city had ever seen before, and it came after the swanky Hotel Sherman hired an undercover detective to investigate an alarming amount of food poisonings among the hotel's well-to-do patrons.
Hey, that's smart, though.
Like if getting you're gonna, your shrimp if, cocktail.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's smart if you're going to strike against a, you know, a restaurant or something. That's smart. You poison mm-hmm. the guest. It hurts the business.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it hurts your return customer.
I think Burger King does that because, I mean, every time I order there. Continue, Brandy.
No, you just order something special and they spit on it every time.
Mm.
Yeah. What the detective discovered was astonishing. The city's waiters had been purchasing 20-cent packets of an illegal powdery substance known as Mickey Finn's powder that, if ingested, would cause violent gastronomical problems.
The drug Have you ever had gastronomical problems, Colonel?
There have been times in my life that I've had a virus or a flu or something like that, and it's not pleasant.
It's not pleasant.
I'll tell you when I had my colonoscopy, Timmy.
Mm.
You know what that's like.
Yeah, that's not a good time to have it.
No,
did you have
not.
To drink that stuff that makes you...
He probably didn't.
I did. I had, but you know what? They didn't give me the $100 bottle. My guy was one of those cheap guys who was like, go to Kroger, buy these two bottles. They're like 79 cents a piece. Drink one. And you know, mine,
my doctor told me just go to White Castle and have a couple of their sliders.
Well, Timmy, I drank the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And, about 6 hours later, nothing's happening. I'm not even getting rumblings or anything else. And I called a doctor, and I'm a little concerned because, you know, I got a colonoscopy the next day. I need to be cleaned out. So it's like the second bottle heard me call the doctor, and he's like, well, you drink another bottle in an hour. And I drank the other bottle, and it's like the second bottle heard me and said, you called us ineffective. We're going to see how effective we are. And I drank the second bottle, waited about 15 minutes, and I got cramping that no woman in labor has ever experienced, Timmy.
Well, now, you can't say it to them because, you know, Brandy, she likes to exaggerate the pain that women...
Oh, I know. But anyway, so yes, it cleaned me out pretty good. As a matter of fact, Timmy, it kept me up all night. And then, Timmy... I don't know if I've told our faithful listeners this before. When I got there, I have a weird chemical makeup of some sort. They gave me Dilaudid and Versed, which should put down a pretty healthy elephant, and told me to count back to 100, and I got to 75, and the nurse got concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Doctor, this does not seem to be taking effect on him. And he said... give him a double dose. And they gave me another dose. And they said, what's your kid's names? And I reeled them off. Count back to 100. I got back to 75 again. And the nurse is like, what do we do here? And the doctor said, well, I can't give you any more drugs because you'll have an overdose. So we're going to have to reschedule so I can give you fentanyl when we do this. And I said, I'm not going through that process again. Whatever you have to do, just do. And I had a colonoscopy wide awake with no sedatives, Timmy.
Well, Colonel, that goes to kind of the rugged nature of your personality. But
Clark Trowbridge would appreciate that.
It also goes in the bucket of who gives a shit.
Well, I kind of like that stuff. You haven't had a colonoscopy yet, have you, Brandy? I mean, you don't turn 50 till about later in the year. But
what? No, what? No, I'm too young for a fucking colonoscopy.
But I wish you could just buy that stuff over the counter because I'd like to drink it like once or twice a week.
You can buy it over
the
counter.
You can buy it over the counter. That was the point.
Yeah, the stuff he gave me was over the counter.
Oh, not much stuff. I had to get a prescription.
Was it castor oil?
Ew.
No, it was something. It came in a small little bottle. You get it at the pharmacy, and it's real cheap, and it tastes like 7-Up. And it was
not it mine. Was mine effective. Tastes like shit.
Yeah, gross. That's. And he told me to take. I took like
it's
six Dulcolax.
You went to what?
It was. It was quite the violent reaction to me.
Okay, great.
And so I told the doctor I had to have mine because I waited a little bit long, Timmy.
It was the day before Taco Bell or something.
It was the day before my 54th birthday.
Well, you're 4 years late.
And they were
going to
schedule. I know I was late, and they were going to schedule
it. No one gives a shit.
For the next week, I said, no, I want it scheduled when I'm 53 on December 6th because my risks obviously are lower at 53 than they will be at 54.
No
right?
one cares.
That's true.
All right.
So I had it when I was 53 years old. But don't wait on your colonoscopies.
Brandy,
no
even though you're,
that,
you don't turn 50.
Is that the
50,
fucking moral to your story?
Even though you don't turn 50 till your next birthday, Brandy, you probably should get that scheduled right away.
Well, thank you for that. The drug was later found to be tartar emic, emtic, a concoction produced by W. Stuart Wood, a pseudo-pharmacist who manufactured the drug with his wife. Wood named the drug Mickey Finn Powder as a tribute, to the conniving saloon owner who was arrested around the same time. Many believe that this was the origins of the saying "slip a Mickey," as a reference to being drugged or knocked unconscious by a spiked beverage or meal. The drug bust at the Waiters Union explained the cause behind countless reports of food poisoning that had occurred across Chicago in previous weeks. Customers at restaurants, clubs, and hotels in the city were getting sick, shaking, and vomiting uncontrollably after consuming what authorities suspected was food laced with this drug. Among those arrested in the raid were two men who worked the union headquarters bar, along with the president of the subsidiary Bartenders Union, officials from the Waiters and Cooks Union, and, of course, Wood, who is the mastermind behind the powdered drug. According to the report by the Tribune, customers that had fallen ill during the food poisoning epidemic were mostly prominent Chicagoans who hadn't tipped their waiters generously. Well, there you go.
See, it seems like you would want an extended release drug because what can't be good for business is people shaking uncontrollably, vomiting, and soiling themselves in the booth while they're eating waiting on dessert or to pay their bill.
Yeah, it would kind of.
Because this stuff took effect immediately.
It would kind of tend to make you lose your appetite, Brandy, if you see someone swell themselves.
Could I have a table next to someone who is not shitting themselves, please? That's all.
Again, tip your wait staff.
That's always a good thing. Yeah. Let me tell you what happened after this. There was fallout from this, devil.
There was some fallout. There was some fallout.
And even before the Chicago waiters plotted against stingy tippers, another bout of mass food poisoning occurred during a swanky event at the University Club where dozens of the city's elite, including the mayor and the governor, this sounds like some shit from Batman, the mayor and the governor had gathered to become gravely ill 2 years prior in 1916. More than 100 guests at this soiree.
Have you ever been to a soiree, Brandy?
I have.
How did you get
held in honor of the new Archbishop George Munchkin, had become sick.
Mundelein,
yeah, but all the other priests called him Munchkin. He was a short little guy.
No, I doubt that they did that.
They became sick after consuming chicken soup. Chicken soup's supposed to be good for you. That's what you eat when you're not feeling good.
It's soup for the soul.
Soup for the soul.
Well, this turned out to be soup for the rectum. So it turned out that the food had been spiked with arsenic by, now tell me this doesn't sound like a bad guy.
Rectum, damn near killed him.
Don Doglio.
There you go.
You know, you don't meet too many women named Nestor anymore.
No, you don't. He was an Italian antichrist.
Nope. Who? Anarchist.
He may have been the antichrist too, Brandy. You don't know.
But he was also an anarchist.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what kind of tattoos he had on his head.
I love the King's English. Go ahead.
He advocated for class revolt and had only mentopoise in the Munchkin himself. Now, Dong Dilio had disguised himself as an assistant chef named John Crone.
John Crone.
And slipped in among the kitchen staff unnoticed before carrying out his revenge
because
against the city's...
The kitchen staff is not very observant, Colonel.
No, they're not. Oh, and most of them back in... Apparently back in those days, most of them only had one eye. So he carried out his revenge against the city's one percenters, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
Now, after both these incidents of food poisonings, the food industry descended into fear and chaos.
Chaos, Brandy. Fear and chaos.
The city's public was on high alert. There were food tasters. People were hiring food tasters for St. Paddy's Day festivities.
But
as waiters across Chicago. Yeah. Try this. I've got one. Anyway. The strike, they continued to strike.
Don't eat out.
It's called Logan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Rudy.
He's got a hearty constitution. Yeah.
Colonel, you know, how's Bo doing? We get a lot of people want to know how Bo is.
Bo is a psychotic, Timmy.
That's your new
dog. He's psychotic, but he's a dapper psychotic.
Brandy, have you seen the sweaters that
Bo has
been wearing?
He looks like he needs to be carried around in a man purse, which I'm sure that Chuck does.
I've got him some cable knit sweaters, and the other night I was sitting in a chair, and
he looks like Randy Rainbow's dog. That's all I'm saying.
I kind of dozed off, and I woke up, and he had both paws on my shoulders and was staring, because he's so light, you can't feel him on you. He had both paws on my shoulders and was staring me straight in the face like a cat does. There's just something wrong with that dog. But anyway, the city's public was on high alert.
High alert.
So people were hiring food tasters. And you know what I used to do, because, you know, I could never trust this one, is that when dinner was made,
mm-hmm.
occasionally I would switch my plate with Tanner's.
Oh, nice.
So just good parenting.
So you don't always. Well, you're saying you don't trust Mrs. Colonel that much.
No, not at all, Timmy. Not at all. So in Tanner, she would never let anything happen to Tanner. The other two, she might take a risk on, but not Tanner. So I would switch my plate with Tanner.
That's smart, Brandy. That's a smart strategy.
No, I get that. But let me say this. I have kept my husband in the back room here like a dog for the past 2 hours, and I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be able to do that.
Well, so, Brandy, if you were on time today, we would have had the podcast done by now.
Oh, motherfucker, please. Please.
Lack of commitment concerns me sometimes.
Colonel, she acts like our time is not important.
Exactly. All the things I could be doing.
Uh-huh.
Well, Devil, let me just continue then, Devil. Let me
Jesus Christ.
Not take up more of your time. I know you got a bunch of consulting gigs lined up, and you got to be at Willie's Sports Bar at 1 o'clock.
You have no idea.
Apparently, anyway, she don't have time for our listeners, Colonel. So please continue.
That's basically she.
I don't
just
have
pissed
time
on
for
him
the
again.
Two of you. This could have been done in an hour, but somebody dozed off.
I bet her and Stephanie are going out to the cabin in the woods and drink this weekend.
Oh, I wish.
Mm-hmm. Voodoo chants and making some curses.
Mm-hmm.
No,
men hating.
Go ahead.
Talking about men, how much they hate them.
Nope.
Well, now you got to remember, Timmy, spiking drinks was not limited to labor disputes in Chicago in 1923.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago storekeeper Tilly Kilmeck, nicknamed the Poison Widow, made headlines after she was convicted of killing her third husband by poisoning his meals.
That's awful.
Later,
that she had some anger issues. She
did.
She
I don't
was probably
blame her.
A member of Brandy's man-hating club.
You don't have any arsenic in the house, do you, there, arsenic Annie?
I feel like the two of you should watch what you eat for the next week or so. Just putting that out there.
Well, later she was linked to
the murders of 14 intimidated.
Other people. No, we refuse to cow to your terroristic threats, Devil.
Yes.
That's fine. Oh, but, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. I trust my DoorDash.
I need to watch it because I go into Brandy's office and get food way too often. So, anyway, in 1931, a woman in Chicago's Rogers Park, where Tana used to live, was suspected of using flypaper to poison her husband's drinks when she believed he was having an affair. How did he not notice that shit?
I miss flypaper. Can you still buy flypaper?
Yeah. You can. Yeah, you can. Now, similar events occurred from time to time, but it was not until the 1990s that the date rape drugs began to appear.
Yeah.
Now, all the types of drugs used in date rape may vary. The goal is always the same, to render the victim helpless and unable to ward off any kind of assault. The most common date rape drug, of course, is alcohol. Did you know that, Devil? Alcohol. Yes. It's not roofies. It's alcohol.
Can you please pay attention?
In your alcohol.
You owe it to our listeners to at least pay attention, Brandy.
And because this is a true thing. In 2017, the last year reported, Devil, 70,000 young women between the ages of 18 and 24 were victims of alcohol-related sexual assault in the United States. 70,000 just from alcohol alone.
Alcohol.
Number's low.
Sure.
Yeah, that
doesn't include, what's his name? Cosby.
Brock Turner.
No, Cosby. Yeah, didn't he do that? He was using drugs, right, to knock him out.
Yes.
Yeah, but I think his victims were older than 24.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what happens?
No.
That's the older women when you get beyond 24. That's a different category. Right, Colonel?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
And then, of course, when you get over 40, we know what happens, Colonel.
Yeah, can you really call them women?
I mean,
okay. So here's,
after 40, the penis starts to grow. And
Right. Here's the thing. So in 2017, you know, more than 70,000 women were the victims of alcohol. That's just reported victims.
And
so
that's
what
just
I
want to
say before.
And that's just from alcohol.
Well, but what I want to say before you to continue to yammer on about bullshit is that if you have been a victim of a sexual assault, there's a national hotline that you can call. It's 800-656-4673, and they're available 24 hours every day. So if you've been a sexual assault victim, every day. So you can call that hotline, and they can assist you with people in your area that can help you.
All right. Thank you, Brandy.
Now you two can continue.
Brandy, what are your final thoughts on Mickey Finn?
Mickey Finn was a sleazeball. To the nth degree.
What did you think about Goldtooth Thornton? Mary Goldtooth Thornton.
I want to be her best friend.
Colonel, your final thoughts.
Hang out with the dummy.
Colonel, and one eye. I don't want to hang out with the dummy. I feel like I already do.
Colonel, your final thoughts on Michael Mickey Finn.
I like the name Mickey Finn. I don't like the man Mickey Finn.
All right. Well, we would like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. Thank you for supporting the arts. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
Don't slip us a Mickey.
Don't slip us a Mickey. I don't have a list this week, Timmy. You messaged me just a script.
Okay, well, that's not true. But we will give shout-outs for all of you who support us. Thank you very much. And we will give shout-outs next week to recognize your support. Thank you for supporting us.
And we'll do them extra loud next week, Timmy.
Extra loud.
Very, very loud.
Yes. Thank you all for joining us. And we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.